When it comes to kashering for Pesach, so I want to be mocked in that there's a lot of different shitas, and there's everyone should. What I'm saying is a shita, a mahalach, but there's a lot of different shitas, and everyone should ask their rav about what exactly they should be doing in terms of the specifics, but. We'll try to go through a little bit the understanding, the basics, and then go through part by part what exactly the process is. So, the side of kashering b'chlal, I mean, what's just to be better equipped to understand what we're doing here. So, what do we do when we're kashering keli? Let's go back a step. What's wrong with using a keli that was used, let's say for treif or with chametz? What's wrong with using that for to eat on Pesach or to eat anything if it's a treif kli? You're not eating the kli, you're just eating the food inside. So who cares if yesterday it was used for treif and now you're using it today for kosher? What's the difference? Who cares? So Chazal tell us that inside the kli there's tam, taste, goes into the kli, and the taste comes out every time the kli is used. Every time you warm up the kli, the utensil gives out the metal or whatever the material gives out the blia that it took in. It gives out the taste that was put in. And since it gives out the taste that was put in, you're not allowed, you're eating the taste of that food. That's a problem. So that's why Chazal tells us you have to kasher your kalim and get out. The sort of kashering is you're getting out the tam that went into the kli. You're taking out that tam before you use it with the kosher food. Okay? So we learn out that there's different processes how you can go ahead and kasher something. How you take out that bli? How do you take out that tam? And the basic principle is kiboyloi kach polto. The way it took in the taste is the way it's going to give it out. So if something took in the tam by cooking it, so through liquid, it was you cooked up.
That's a kibola.
Kibola, bolea, to swallow. The way it's bolea is that's why it's polate. The way it spits it out. So the only way it's going to spit out the tam is the same way in which it took in the tam. So let's say you have something which you cooked up a treif piece of chazer in a pot with water. So it went in through the medium of water. So the only way it's going to come out is also if you boil up water, so the water is going to take out the tam. So the way it comes in is the way it goes out. Now let's say it went in without any water, then it went in straight through the fire. So the fire is going to have to take it out. You're going to have to burn it, put it on a dry heat. All right, if the dry heat put it in, so the dry heat is going to take it out. So, example, if you roasted a treif piece of meat on a grill, you can't boil up the grill because it went in without any water. It went in just with the koach of the fire. So the only way to take out that blia is with fire itself. Okay. So these are the two processes that we have more or less, and these two things are called, when you're using water, we're going to call it hagala. That's called hagala. It's boiling it, and when you do with fire, it's called libun. It's called whitening at libun. It gets boiling hot, and you burn it out. Okay. Now it's important to point out also is that the way they works is different. Hagala actually takes out the tam, like we said, right? The tam goes in. Hagala takes out the tam, but libun doesn't work by taking out the tam. The way libun works is it actually just burns the tam in the kli. So it doesn't take it out. It's a different mechanics. The way it works is it actually burns up the blia inside the kli. Okay? And that's going to make a difference for certain things. That's why I'm speaking it out, because it's going to make a difference. Okay? So now, this is one piece of hakadama that we have to know before we can go through the practical stuff. The first hakadama is that there's two processes and the way they work. One is hagala, one is libun, and the way they work is hagala takes out the tam of a blia that went in, of a tam that went in through water, and libun burns it out. Right? The second thing that we have to go through before we can go through the practicality of the kitchen is what the material that was boileya. What's the material of the kli? Because different materials have different halachas. So it's very important to explain before we start going through the different materials that we use and what's the status of those materials. So the standard thing that the Torah talks about is metal. So metal takes in tam and it gives out the tam. So it takes in residue, or whatever you want to call it, however you want to translate the tam, the bleas, and will give it out if it can spit out the tam. Okay? Metal, wood, steel, all these type of things. Oiferes. But the Chazal tell us, the Torah even says actually, HaTorah He'ida, that Klicheres is different. Klicheres is earthenware. Earthenware is, Chazal say, even though it takes in a lot of tam, but it can never give out the tam. Whatever it takes in stays in there forever. So anything which is made out of earthenware can never give out any tam that it took in. It says, HaTorah He'ida al Klicheres, She'enoi moitzi midei dofenov la'olam. It's never moitzi any tam from its walls. So therefore, although you could kasher a metal kli, but you can never kasher kli cheres, earthenware, with hagala. Porcelain, china, mug. What's that? What? No. Porcelain?
Ceramic,
that's better, yeah. Ceramic is more, I think, precise. All those things are halachas of cheres, and therefore they won't be able to spit out any tam that they ever got in, so you can never kasha them. Okay? Stone is not like that. Stone is like metal. Stone is different than earthenware. Stone could be boleya and maflut. It could give out the tam as well.
Is this something like spiritual or is this physical?
No, physical.
It's not able to give out.
It's physical. It's a metzias. The Chazal say it's a metzias. That it has so much in there that it can never give it out. That's the Marsha says pshat actually. It has so much in there that it can't give it out.
But if it's physical, I thought it was always a spiritual thing. If it's physical, steel, for instance, is not porous at all.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, if you were on a steel factory, let's say you don't have to write on there like someone's allergic to wheat. Let's say you won't say on there that the Maisa, even in the Welt out there, you see that they say this that this machinery was used with nuts were produced on this machinery, or wheat was produced on this machinery, because people with very sensitive allergic reactions could taste that, it could affect them. So even the thing which is really is not considered porous, but it could be that it does absorb some time. There was some talk about that nowadays the steel is so tight that maybe it's not bolea, but the Poskim pretty much said that that's not true. Now, glass is a big shaila in the Poskim. What's the status of glass? It seems like there's a distinction between the rest of the year and Pesach. During the rest of the year, some Poskim are more makel on glass than anything else.
Because of the lack of
caress. Right. Because glass, they want to say, is so smooth that it's not bolea anything. That's why often, people that are like kind of, they don't want to get, I don't think it's the standard person, because it's not so posh, but there are people out there that will have one set of dishes, glass set of dishes for milchik samflashik, because they rely on this that it's not buleya.
Does anybody really hold like that?
It's a stand. It is a makubal. I think it used to be more makubal.
Right, but we do it in terms of not being cold, so it's not a problem.
Right.
If you're at a bar or at a hotel,
you don't have to worry that
drink or cereal in a bowl.
Right.
If it's not hot, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. But some people, let's say you're served a tea at someone's house. If it's a glass, maybe some people will be more makel because glass. Some people are very makel on glass across the board. That they'll put, let's say, the glasses. Some people will be making on glass across the board for the rest of the year. And they'll say the glass is more kal, is more lenient than metal and everything else, because it doesn't even take in the tam in the first place. However, on Pesach, lehefech, we're more machmer on glass than anything else. Because on Pesach we say that not only does glass take in the tam, but it's going to be like cheres that it can't even take out, give out the tam. So glass is like in between. On the one hand, maybe it's even more kal than everything else, and during the rest of the year there are those that say like that. And bidyeved, by the way, bidyeved, even though I'm not going to tell you, yeah, I have one set of dishes of glass, but bidyeved many times, let's say we had a lot of times that people call up and say that, let's say they put the milchik glasses in the fleishik dishwasher or something like that. So bidyeved, one time thing, that something may have happened, we would be makel sometimes on glass and say, well, you know, you could be makel this time that it wasn't boleya or something like that. But during, on Pesach, it's the opposite. Not only is it boleya, but you can't kosher glass for Pesach. What?
You put it underwater for 3 days.
Okay, so if you want, that's for if it was boleya with cold. If you have a glass that was boleya cold, meaning let's say you put whiskey in there, you put schnapps in there. So then there's a way to kosher glass if it was boleya through cold by filling it up. For 3 days, filling it up for 24 hours and spilling it up. Because we're talking about it only went in through cold, meaning it didn't go through heat. It just went in by, you know, the schnapps was sitting in there. So maybe it touched the surface, maybe a drop went in or something. So for that, we say that kibolo kach polto, that you could fill it up for 3 days and fill it up for 24 hours, spill out the water, fill it up again for 24 hours, spill out the water, fill it up again for 24 hours and spill out the water. It's called milui v'iru gimel yomim. You fill it up and spill it out for 3 days. That takes out time that went in through cold, but not time that went in through hot. So glasses normally only went in cold. So people that, I mean, you know, my mother told me that when they were first married, so they didn't have glasses, you know, this and that. So again, so they did that in the bathtub. They sealed off the bathtub for three days, and they and what?
Reason for hot tea.
Hot tea. You can't do this.
You can't use those glasses.
No, not for Pesach.
You can't what?
Use those glasses for Pesach.
You can't use
a tea glass. A glass that was used for hot tea, using it for chametz and then kashering for Pesach. You can't do that. Okay. So this is the two akdamos. Now going further down the. Further down the list of materials. So those are the classic materials in the Torah: glass, cheres, metal. But now we have a lot more materials. You know, so Teflon, plastic, formica, all these types of different rubbers. So basically, since there's a precedent that we have in the Torah, in the Poskim, that on Pesach, we don't even kasher glass. The only thing we kasher for Pesach is metal, because that's what the Torah says, you could kasher. So that being the case, so Rav Moshe says we don't kasher plastic for Pesach. Rubber, also, we don't kasher rubber for Pesach. Even though Rav Moshe is more makel on rubber, I don't really know what the difference between rubber and plastic is. Is there a difference?
Plastic, I think, is harder.
Plastic is
harder. Plastic, I think, is harder.
Rav Moshe says you could kasher rubber, but I'm not sure what that means exactly. He says because rubber is made out of, it's not as synthetic, it's made out of wood.
It's made from a rubber tree.
What?
It's a resin from a rubber tree that comes out of
it. Yeah? It's more natural, it's less synthetic than plastic?
Yeah,
so he's saying that it's true. Rubber has a rubber base. So Rav Moshe says you can be more makel on koshering rubber, but I don't know where it's nogeya. There's no rubber. We don't.
In other words, the metal that you're koshering, right? It opens up the pores and allows the chametz to come out. Rubber does the same thing. The plastic doesn't have those little.
Okay, so they're explaining it. Fine. So rubber, Rav Moshe is more makel on. But we don't really have rubber. What do you call koshering of rubber?
Where it's like metal, like your metal inserts in your sink have little rubber pumps underneath it. So that.
So according to that you would be able to do it, right?
Even though it has the little rubber
pieces. Right. So the rubber, Ramush is more makel on the rubber than the plastic. But the plastic, we don't kasher for Pesach. Okay, this is nogeya, let's say for, we'll see where there's nogeya. I don't want to get into examples, I'm going to be misad everything afterwards. But I just want to get the hakdama, it's very clear, so that you'll understand why we're saying certain things that we're saying. Okay?
I always wondered, you know when they dip the metal into the big bowl of boiling water? isn't there a point where there could be so much
chometz in there that comes back in?
That it comes back.
Yes, of course there is. Yeah, we'll discuss that.
So you have to be the early than be late.
Well, kind of, but we'll
that's
see.
That's why you want to make sure that the pot's very clean beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what you have to get. You have to make sure that all that.
If it's not like, especially in shows with the new hot dollar.
You have to be very careful about that.
Very careful.
Also, anything which is glazed in glass is also going to be a problem of glass. So if you have Pyrex, Pyrex is some sort of combination. Pyrex and Corel. So Corel is some sort of combination of melted down glass with Cheres. So you're in really bad shape with Corel for koshering for Pesach. During the year, some people say since it's glazed with glass, so you could be makel on Corel. But for Pesach, where we can't kosher glass, so therefore Corel is out. You can't kosher Corel for Pesach. Corel, Pyrex, and those type of things are all things that can't be kosher. And enamel, which is the things which is, it's that glaze that you have on top of stoves. I mean, at least they used to, I don't know what that was. You know, enamel is inside the oven, they have that, or on top of the stoves. So the enamel stuff is also like cheres, and it can't be kashered at all, okay? So now that we have these two basic principles, we have to talk a little bit about how you do agola, but this now we'll be able to go through a little bit more of the detail, okay? So just to chazer over, there's two ways to kasher. There's agola, which is takes out the tam by putting it into hot water. You put it into boiling hot water, or you pour, in some cases, boiling hot water over the kli, and that takes out the blia. And there's libun, which burns out the blia. Okay, now, everything that we mentioned that you cannot kasher, why did we say you can't kasher it? Cheres, all these things. Why can't you kasher those things?
Because
you can't get it out.
The tam.
Oh, but that's only true if the way it kashers it is by taking out the tam, like hagola. But libun, the way libun works is that it doesn't take out the tam, it just burns up anything in there. So therefore, libun theoretically could work even on cheres, even on earthenware and stuff like that. So libun could work on these items. So therefore, theoretically.
Except you will never get it hot enough because you're afraid of it burning.
Right. So it's not so clear though, so we have to get clear the halachas of libun to see when and where we could do libun on even on cheres. But there are limitations to libun also, like Rabbi Ephraim is saying. So we have to know what the limitations are. But there is a point where it could be you could do libun on cheres. So that's going to be very important for our ovens and all these things where they're glazed with enamel or they're glazed with who knows what. So we have to figure out if we can kasher those for Pesach. So it's important to realize that even though you can't do hagalah, when I said you can't kasher, it means you can't do hagalah. You can't take out the tam. But libun, which is burning out the tam, that you could do. Okay? So let's go through a little bit the process. At the very end, because I want to make sure we have time for the main part. At the very end, we'll talk about what you mentioned. About the kalim that we're actually going to kasher, how do you actually kasher them in a pot? How do you do hagalah? And if we don't get to hagalah this week, we'll get to it next week. I just want to go around the kitchen now about the main appliances and speak out how to kasher those and discuss those for a minute, okay? So now, let's go through one by one. I want to just, again, point out one other thing, and this is very important, is that there's a very big difference. Because we said, kibolo kach polto, the same way the tam goes in, that's the way the tam comes out. So it has to be the same level of heat also. So for example, let's say you boil up a pot on the stove. Okay? And you had over there chametz. Okay, you had noodles boiling up on a pot on the stove. So how did the tam go in? Through water, right? The tam of the chametz goes into the pot through water. So now I have a great idea. I'll take the pot and I'll pour boiling hot water on that pot. Does that work? It doesn't work. Even though I'm using hot water, and hot water is the same way it went in, but it has to be the same degree of heat. The degree of heat that it went in was hot water on the flame, on the stove, boiling hot water. When you're pouring it, you're not using the power of the stove, of the heat, of the flame. You're just having the water itself. So that's not considered the same level. Okay? So the only time you could... So even though there's two ways to kasher with hot water, but you have to realize, you have to be very specific. There's something called irui, which is pouring hot water, and there's something called hagola, which is dipping it in a pot which is boiling on the stove. Something which was used on the stove, you can't do irui with. Okay? That's another hagdala. Now, let's go through one by one, and then we're going to go and discuss specific types of kelim. Well, let's go through the kitchen for a minute, okay?
Better one, better if you put it in the
boiling. Yeah, because it's on the stove. It's boiling hot water. It's bubbling away. Okay, so let's go through one by one. So anything which you're not going to be using with hot food, okay? So theoretically, anything that you're not cooking with or whatever. So all we're worried about, like we said last week, is just a crumb falling in. You want to make sure there's no crumbs there. So your fridge and your cabinets should be cleaned out well and covered, but you don't have to kosher them, obviously. You're not using it to cook or anything like that. You're not putting hot food there. So therefore, all you have to do is clean it, make sure there's no crumbs, clean it from any crumbs, any cabinets that you're putting kosher Pesach dishes in, clean them out from any crumbs, or cover. Cover and cover the cabinets and the fridge. Now, what about countertops? So, what's the issue with countertops? So, it depends, first of all. First of all, if you have Formica countertops, so Formica is basically some sort of wood, and it's covered with a plastic, basically. So, we said you can't kosher plastic for Pesach. So, therefore, Formica countertops can't be koshered for Pesach. So, the only thing you can do with them is wipe them down. And cover them. There's no real need to like pour boiling hot water on them before you cover it, even though a lot of people like doing that. but you don't really have to do that. But you do have to cover it, and you should also cover the backsplash up to the wall, up to the level at which the pot will, any pot will reach. So let's say you have a hot pot, it's going to be on the counter. So during the year, maybe what happened is that it was pushed against the wall. So some of the chametz tam, let's say you had a hot noodles, you know, spilled up or whatever against the backsplash. And now you're going to put your Pesach pot against it. It's going to take out the taste or whatever from the. So it's kedai, you know, to. I think it's kedai to cover to a certain extent, you know, some degree of the backsplash also. Now, if you really want to be machmir, I don't even do this, so you know, but I have seen my sister and other people did this, that they even covered, you know, under the cabinet, on top of your counter, you have cabinets. So what could happen is that you could have an open pot and there's steam going up to the bottom of the cabinet, and then, you know, you put your Pesach hot soup on the counter, and on top of it is the cabinet, so the steam is going to go up and take out the tom from the cabinet and bring it back down. So some people cover it. So some people cover that, but it should be clean. It should definitely be cleaned. That's for sure. I'm not saying you don't have to. But I'm not saying you do either. I'm saying you have to do whatever your wife says you should do. But
what?
Right. Where it's not so right.
But on the oven,
it's the whole time. It's. So now, but it should be clean. It is kedai to be ma'orer that you should clean the bottom of your cabinet. Because there could be a crumb there that's going to fall. That is kedai to clean out. Okay. So if you have Formica countertops, caution, all you have to do is cover it. If you have a granite countertop, so granite is stone. Stone, we said, you could take out the tom from stone. So theoretically, it could be kosher. The question is, how do you kosher a countertop? You're not going to stick your countertop inside a pot, right? So how do you kosher a countertop? How do you kosher the countertop? Right, okay. So, yeah. So l'choro, you could say that you should just pour boiling hot water on it. The only problem with that is that we're choshesh for the following. What we're concerned with is that that could be that you took that a boiling hot piece of, let's say, a piece of pasta or a noodle or a hot challah straight from the oven that was taken out of the oven and you put it straight on the counter, which definitely happens. You know, you could take a boiling hot cake, put it straight on the counter. So the halacha is, according to many poskim, that if you have boiling hot food and that food is put on a surface, that surface now is like it's getting the koach of the fire itself. It's almost like a kli rishon. It's almost like the power of the fire itself. So if you do that, if that's true, so pouring hot water is not going to be strong enough to take out the tam of a solid piece of chometz that touched the surface. So if you have a solid piece of chometz that touched the surface, pouring hot water is not going to take out that tam. It's not going to be strong enough. So the only way to do it is by somehow making that the countertop has a halacha like it's on the fire. So how do you do that? Like I said, if you take the countertop and put it on the in a pot, that's great, but you're not going to do that. So this is what's called, and we're going to see. So again, this is a chumrah of the Marival. Mishnah Berurah brings down a chumrah of the Marival to be choyushesh that on shulchanus, maybe davar gush fell on a shulchan. So this is like a shulchan. So this is the chumrah. Ne'ikra adin, I think poskim say you could kasher granite. I do want to be mocked in one other thing also though, is that many granites are glazed with glass. Because all that gets scratched. So if it's glazed with glass, you're back to the glass problem. Glass, you can't kasher. Yeah. So if granite is gavaldik, you can kasher granite, but you have to know what the glazing is, the glaze is. If it's a very thin glaze, it's really just like a painted on. That's not that. I don't think is a problem. I spoke to a Rav in Lakewood today before the shir.
On granite, you said?
Yeah, because I don't think they just take the stone out of it. Because otherwise, the granite gets scratched very easily. So they. It smooths it out. So we have to know what that glaze is made out of. If it's a thick glass glaze, that's a problem to kasher. But if it's like a thin, you know, painted on glaze, that's okay. That's bottled to the kli. So it's bottled to the granite. Okay? What's the standard? I don't know. I think most people kasher granite.
Right. Most folks can say that even the glaze is not a...
A thin glaze.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a problem. Yeah. So the rabbi spoke to in Lakewood said, yeah, it's a thin glaze that you don't really know what it's made out of. It. You don't have to be choshesh. Maybe it's made out of glass. So you could kosher it. Now, so now again, we're saying pouring the hot water may not be enough. So you have to make it as if it's on the fire. So how do you do that? So what the Shulchan Aruch says is you take a boiling hot stone and you pass the boiling hot stone on the counter while you're pouring the hot water. So that means that as the hot water is going there, it's like hitting a fire. So it's like your mamash on the fire because you have a red hot stone. Okay, so this is what's brought down the Shulchan Aruch. The problem with this is it's very impractical because the stone cools off very quickly. So you have to be constantly going back to the fire. What you do is, theoretically, you have tongs, you hold this stone, a brick, you take the brick to the fire, you make a red hot brick, you put it down on the counter, you pour hot water, and then it cools when it's red hot, you're fine. And then you go back to the fire if it cools off. It's very complicated.
In the pot itself, that maintains the heat level, so the water's still boiling above 200 and...
While you're pouring, you mean?
While you're pouring.
Oh yeah, you could do that? Oh, so this is the Eitzah. This is the new Eitzah now. The new age Eitzah for Evan Lubin is to use an iron. Because what happens is the iron gets red hot, basically. It has a din of Yatzel at this boat. And you could pour even cold water. And the Rav told me today that I always had hot water, but Al-Kabani, after you could pour, for sure, hot water. And you could pour water on the counter. And then take the iron and then... Why? Because then it's going to burn it?
Well, but you want to create the steam. The steam's only going to come through putting on the top of a wet surface. And even if you just washed your whole thing, it's not enough water. So you want to get a wet towel so that it constantly steam up.
Oh, yeah?
The towel dries up.
So I didn't hear this. I didn't hear this thing. But how does that...
Steam. Let me understand this. You're supposed to iron water on your granite countertop
until you kasher your counter in general.
You know, irons only work with water in the first place.
How do they kasher iron? How do they kasher granite?
Is that what you do?
Is
that like the 2013 version?
That's the 2013. That's the 2013 version of the tuna fish. The tuna can in the crock pot.
Right. So last year it was okay to pour boiling water, but now this year we have to use an iron.
No, this is a new. This is not a new thing. I'm just saying. What? Where?
In our house, when we kosher the counter.
How do you do? You iron the granite itself?
You iron boiling water, hot water. I mean, I guess it could be cold in your case. And you take an iron and you go over with the iron and it steams right away.
Do you touch the iron to the granite?
Yeah, like right above it.
So he's saying he did it straight on it.
Huh?
You don't touch. You don't.
Touch. No, you don't go like this. You go right above it.
With the water, as it, the surface of the iron is touching the level of water that's on the granite.
Right.
Or you do it through a towel. That's what he's saying.
But
I'm not sure how that works exactly.
Granite directly.
I mean, I guess you're not like sitting there like you're making sure it's straight.
Right.
Make sure there's no wrinkles. I don't think you have to do mamash. You just have to pass it over. Make sure that the water on every spot of the counter, the water that got there became hot through the power of the iron. That's all you have to do.
And you do it with a towel?
You do it with a towel, but because it's hard to get into some of the corners of the cracks, and also sort of like lifting you up, it's not as practical holding the towel to it. So I bought this here steamer. That's 245 degrees. And you don't need to do all the steam.
Why steam enough?
What?
Yeah, last year I covered my granite personally.
I covered mine too, because Rob told me so.
You cover it with Formica?
Formica, for sure you have to kasher.
I'm saying, do you cover your granite with your countertops with Formica?
I don't know, whatever. I kashered it with whatever I had.
Okay.
Whatever.
Some people do that. So
I'm just too nervous that I didn't get every spot, so whatever. But
this is 245 degrees. And it's hotter than the water. And it's
heating up the water, you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's made
from like a linoleum. That's what my wife
thinks.
What?
Linoleum. People roll out linoleum.
Do you cover your granite? Your granite?
With linoleum.
You have granite? And you don't kosher it? You cover it?
I did, but it got too messy.
Oh, see? You're masking to me then.
All the water, like, buckles on the cabinet.
Yeah. It's thrilling hot. You got kids sliding all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the grit? It's boiling up.
I'm not sure why I have to discuss this with you.
That was kind of the idea.
Why the steam is enough. Because the word is that you need a koyach of eish, no? You need to make it into a kli rishon.
This is stupid. I just get pissed.
Water's going everywhere.
You can't kasher with the steam. You have to kasher with water.
Right.
Take it off the finish.
Same, but you're kashering with the water.
There's little brasses flying everywhere. Not right.
Is water touching the counter? We'll discuss it after. Okay. Okay. Now.
Pieces that are special.
Now, this is the countertops. Okay. Now, in case it wasn't messy enough, so now you're up to the sink. Okay. So now, if it wasn't messy enough,
so now.
So the sinks is like this. Again, if you have enamel or porcelain sinks, you can't kasher them for Pesach. So you have to just use an insert and cover them. The metal sink, a metal sink, which is what most people have, theoretically could be kasher because any tom that came out. The question is again. So how do you kasher? So the first thing you have to remember is you can't use it. Any kashering that's done for Pesach And before you kasher anything for Pesach, you can't use it with hot chametz within 24 hours of when you're kashering. So if you're kashering your counters, don't use them within 24 hours of when you're kashering them. If you're kashering your sink, don't use them within 24 hours for hot chametz before you're going to kasher.
You can use it for cold water.
Oh, so everyone asks every single year, and the same Shiloh, they always call up, I used it for cold. My kids washed negelwasser in there, or whatever, and they got all nervous. But you could use the sink for cold. For cold, it's not a problem. You just can't use the sink for hot chametz before within 24 hours when it's using it. Okay. Also, the sink has to be spotless clean. So where does that become difficult? It becomes a little difficult in the area around the drain. There's like this little area around the drain. You have to like use a toothpick and kind of clean out the whole drain because you don't want any single piece of chametz. You're gonna end up pouring in boiling water, and that little piece of chametz is gonna start floating around the whole sink and making the whole sink trafe. So you gotta make sure. Where?
If it's a myth, then it will be.
Where on the sink?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's saying use a blowtorch and blowtorch out the whole sink. That's one with Mahala. But now the standard thing. This is more 2013 because when I was growing up, the standard thing I think was to kasher a sink with Eroi.
With what?
With Eroi. It means pouring boiling hot water over the sink. Now, the truth is, though, that it's not so posh for two reasons to kasher a sink with Eroi. The first reason why it's not so posh is because when you're pouring the boiling hot water on the sink, you have to make sure that it came in contact from the pot on every spot. So that means if you have an area that goes like this, let's say you have a diagonal, let's say you have a plate and you want to pour water. So you're going to pour water here, but the water here, the next spot right below it is not getting contact directly from the kli. It's just getting rolled down water. So it's not. It loses its potency. It's not coming straight from a kli rishon anymore. So the water, once it's hit the surface and starts rolling, it's not as strong as it was when it was poured. So, and you have to directly pour the water onto every spot. So if you think about it on a sink, it's almost impossible to do that because it's directly. So how are you going to pour on the on every spot of the sink, on the wall of the sink?
Why can't you put the pot?
Yeah.
Why can't you put the faucet?
Where?
As hot as it goes? Why can't you put the faucet just as hot as it goes? It's boiling hot out of the faucet and just.
Because no, first of all,
there's no,
it doesn't reach 212. It doesn't reach 212. If it reaches 212, then you should turn it down. Go down to your boiler and turn it down. It's dangerous.
Why did it have to reach Yatzoledes? Yeah, so you didn't have Yatzoledes.
No, you did. Of course, you did. You never drained noodles in there straight from the sink. You never took something from the sink over the whole year and took boiling hot water from a chametz pot and poured it into the sink. Of course, you did.
Is that Yatzoledes? That's
straight from the sink. So you've definitely had boiling hot chametz in your sink over the year. There's no shiloh. So now you need boiling hot water to take it out. So you could theoretically do Eroi, but there's two problems with the Eroi. Number one is I'm not sure, it's very hard practically to pour on every single spot. That's number one. Number two is you have the same concern that we had on the counter, which is that maybe you had a boiling hot, just like we said on the counter, let's say you take a challah straight out of the oven and you put it onto the counter. So now it's not so pushed anymore that by pouring, that has the same potency as the hot challah. So therefore, when you, let's say, this definitely happened over the course of the year, you strained pasta into the sink and a piece of the noodles fell straight onto the sink. So now you have more than a clearation of water. Now you have actual pieces of hot, boiling hot comets falling on your sink, the sides of your sink. So according to that, so your mom should have a clearation. So now, again, so what are you going to do with your sink? You're going to stick your sink into a pot and kosher it? So how do you do that? So again, I think the standard psak used to be just do Eroi and figure out the best way to do it. But lately...
2013.
Lately, it became these two pikpukim came up. Yeah. So either so the blowtorch option or the iron. But again, I don't know if the iron is too practically. Iron is not practical. Iron is not practical. So in Lakewood, the new thing became
this is the what? Steamer.
No. They have an industrial.
Go to the in-laws.
No. Go to no. No, then you can't eat at your in-laws. It doesn't help. No, so
sulfuric acid.
The standard thing actually became, and I saw this even in the Star K book, so I didn't feel like it was so radical. No, actually not in the Star K, even older than that. I saw it in Rav Eider's book, which is like really old. So he says over there that I think it was like 1984 or something. So he also brings down this thing is to use a industrial immerser. What that means is that you fill up the water, you fill up the sink with cold water, and you put in an immerser. So an immerser is an element, and then it's you stick it in, and that boils. Yeah, and it boils up the water in the sink itself. So now your sink became a pot, basically, because your sink has in it the boiling hot water. Yeah, it's a little messy. Yeah, either way, it's messy. It's a kasha the sink. So what? Well, the problem with that is it's not so dangerous, except for the fact is that your pipes very often can't handle the heat. So you shouldn't let go. You shouldn't let go of the blocker, whatever you're using to block up your sink, which is also a shaila. How you block up your sink?
You shouldn't stick your hand in to unplug it because it wouldn't be good on your hand.
Right. Right. So therefore, you should let the water cool down before you unplug it and let it go through your pipes. Because the rav, I was sitting with the rav, and he got a call that from like three people that their pipes burst Erev Pesach.
The plastic PVC can't handle
212 like that.
And the hand can?
No, what Hashaykh's hand? They stuck in a fork and took it out. But
you theoretically
now, I'm not saying that you can't
use a new pot. Take a
new pot, boil water on it, and then...
No, because what I'm saying is, like, that's only Iroi.
It's very difficult to get every spot.
I'm saying it's very difficult.
Every spot, the first drop.
So again, I'm not saying that I grew up with Iroi on the sink. That means that you go around and you pour water on the sink. So I'm not saying you can't do that. But, again, I told you this week you weren't going to walk away with any coolers. So, you know, it's a little complicated. You have to be careful. I know some people, even if they do Iroi, they do it like 3 times just to make sure they got every spot or whatever. So,
remember when you were a kid, you would chew these tablets and then you would brush your teeth and you could see what part of your teeth you brushed? They should make a product like that. So,
it turns blue.
Into 790
so now, Lamaisa, the ladies don't like this, but Lamaisa, the easiest thing is to just use it, some sort of insert. That we get out of all the shilas.
It has an opening in the middle, and that's what you're still talking about all the comments.
No, so also you have to do a few things with an insert. You should also pour like bleach down your sinks, so that in case there's any backup. This is you should do either way. If you're koshering your sink, you should pour something which makes any food which is left over in the bottom of the sink, in the bottom of the pipe, it becomes Ein Ra'ah L'Achilas Kelah. So that if in case there's a backup, the food doesn't come back into your sink. It sort of became possible in Nifsal L'Achilas Kelah. So before you do anything with the sink, you should pour like bleach down the sink, down the drain. Bleach is something which is going to make any leftover food inedible anymore.
Soap.
And soap, bleach, whatever. Something that's gonna get the food. Also, you should do Iroi on the faucet. The faucet itself needs Iroi. That for sure you could do Iroi because you don't have to assume that a noodle fell in the middle of your faucet. So the faucet you could do Iroi, which is pouring. I'm not sure how you kosher to the bottom of the faucet. I've always had this problem every year.
Well, if your faucet is the one that comes
out, you like throw the water this way. What?
No, but if you're
so if you have the fancy faucets, so you take it out and then you pour it.
Right, then you have the lot of faucets.
So let's just put out like. Safe housekeeping.
You should. No, and then, and the knobs have to be cleaned well. And also, the older sinks have like this, it's like, it has the little spigot.
Right, but a lot of times the faucets are plastic also.
Yeah. So a lot of times, I think that it's kedai usually to like clean that out well or just replace it. Just get another little piece for the end of your sink and replace that before Pesach.
How would Hamatz get in there?
Because let's say you were washing a pot and you use the sink and it touches the pot.
Use the spray.
Yeah.
Or the steam.
Or the steam goes up into there. It can happen very easily, actually.
Chametz steam?
Yeah. Contaminated chametz steam. So now, Lamaisa, I don't really have a good eitzah for the sink. In Lakewood, they have these industrial immerser gemachs. So they go around.
What I'll do for the sink?
I did Iroi and then I used an insert.
Wow.
I did Iroi just in case, because like he's saying, there's a hole. So if you, let's say you have a fork, it falls through the hole. So it touches the sink. So I just did Iroi just in case. And then I used an insert because I was getting too nervous. I was trying to do Iroi and it wasn't working. For me, at least. But I'm not saying you can't do it. My mother did Iroi, my shver does Iroi, and I ate in their house for Pesach and everything. But Lamaisa, I've seen lately, and I spoke to Poiskim today, and other places that they say that the preferred method really is to use some sort of insert and cover the sink, because the Iroi gets very complicated unless you could somehow use an Evan Malubin or make it into a clearishon with this immerser thing. The only place I did have a cooler was on the ovens, but we didn't get to that, so we'll have to pick that up. Pick it up
in the oven.
Pick it up. Yeah, exactly. Pick it up next week on kashering.